Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
What's up? Welcome back, After Buzzers, to the Shy After Show. Tonight we're talking Ronnie is back on the Pruno. We're talking Big Papa and Kev at the Shed Aquarium. We're talking Brandon, Reggie, and the Duda. All that and more coming up for you next.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Yay. What's up, party people? I'm your host, Erica Edwards, and we're on season 2, episode 8 of The Shy called Lean Into It. And that's what we're going to do tonight, but I couldn't do it without my girls. So give it up for Lauren is back in the house.
What's up, guys? I know you miss me. I'm here this week.
Yes, we did miss you.
We did miss her.
Genuinely. We did miss her. And then, of course, there's Kitty Kaboom.
What's up?
Yay, yay, yay. Chef Beans, if you're out there watching and enjoying your birthday,
happy birthday, I think.
Hey. Happy birthday, Poppy. Get it in. Can't wait for him to get back. So here we are, lean into it. So I guess, and stay tuned all the way to the end, you guys, because we got some gossip, and some news and, you know, some predictions, all that good stuff.
And some predictions.
Yeah, it's a prediction. We all kind of know what's going to happen to some people. All right. So what did you guys feel about this episode overall?
Overall, I thought it was a pretty good episode. You know, we got to see more into each character's storyline. Some people took a turn backwards. So it kind of leads us to the big finale, or gives us a glimpse into the finale in a few weeks. So I like how they're kind of moving people into a new chapter of their life.
I liked it, too. I liked the fact that there were very vast differences between those changes. Like, things that were completely unexpected. I really enjoyed more than anything seeing the full circle that the kids seem to be going on. Like, they're definitely growing up and becoming other things, and it's nice to see them allowing positive things to make their choices.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I really enjoyed this episode a lot. I feel like the writing is getting stronger on the show, and people are kind of starting to get a rhythm. I really enjoyed it. So that being said, we will start it off with the storyline that I like the least, which is Ronnie. Because okay. He's the worst. I mean,
he's the bane of my existence.
His whole storyline, and it's so interesting with his storyline, because it's like, it's kind of tangential. Like, Jada is Emmett's mother, but I'm like, how are you relating to anybody else on the show? Like, what's going on here? But let's take it from the top. So Ronnie is trying to get in with his, granddaughter, and Shantae is his Jason's baby mama. And so that's kind of, you know, where he sort of opened up, or that's how his scenes open up. And he's, like, pushing her to go to nursing school, which I thought it was a good idea to have her go, you know, to make that suggestion, especially, like, she's a single mother, and nurses make lots of money.
They sure do.
And are never unemployed, really. But he just came off so thirsty and pushy to me. So what were your thoughts about his whole interaction with Shantae and just him? I mean, I get that he's geeked, and maybe because, you know, his grandmother Ethel is all he has, but he just came off as so, like, I don't know, just really needy to me.
I think it speaks volumes to who he thought he was becoming. Like, before he allowed whatever demons in his head take over and then he went for the drink, he was on the right path. He looked good. He physically looked like he was clean and getting himself together. And I think he just felt like, it's contagious. I'm getting my shit together. I'm getting on point and doing what I need to do for my life. You're an extension of me, sort of, kind of. So I want you to do well, too, and I'm going to implement some things in your life. Or, yeah, it was pretty pushy, but it wasn't pushy in like a negative, like, it wasn't malicious or anything, or it didn't have any undertones of like having an ulterior motive.
It just seemed like he was trying to choose her career path for her.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, no question. It was, but I think that's what I was just saying. That's what motivated it.
No,
I think.
No, he definitely had good intentions, but it was just kind of like he said, "Have you looked into anything?" He could have gave options and then pushed more towards the nursing. But he said, "I already asked somebody to talk to you. I looked up classes start next Tuesday."
Right.
I was like, "Oh, what if she wanted to be a dentist? I don't know. You know,
anything."
He just didn't even ask.
Exactly. He was so aggressive, and I was like, "Dude, I met you a month ago.
Right.
So
relax.
Let me breathe. But thank you. Leave the brochure." But like, he was coming on to me like so strong and just so pressed, which I feel like in any relationship that is going to kind of cause the person to pull back, like,
right,
you know, because it was almost not quite manic, but it was just so overly extra and hyped. And like,
I think he thinks because she's young too, it's like she's pliable, you know what I mean? I'll implement this in her life. She doesn't know, you know, I've lived a lifetime and I'm just trying to help her. I really think that he meant nothing but genuine, like, earnest help. It was just a little too much.
Well, yeah,
I agree.
I don't think at all that he has any malicious intent, but I think because of something that's lacking in his life right now, that he is almost thirsty and desperate.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave off an
void.
Area of a desperation. Not that it's evil or anything, but it's like it's going to give off an kind of, you just got such a feeling of desperation, and you know that anybody that's getting that is obviously going to be like, okay, give me a break, like, you know.
Yeah, well, I think she acquiesced because again, she's young and you know she's still impressionable, and the fact that he was so pushy about it, she's like, I guess, okay. I mean, was she supposed to say, no, I'm not doing that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, she did, and she so that part was actually kind of interesting. Now, Lauren, would you have trusted him with your baby though?
No. No, because she even said before, like, you know, he kept the baby a little longer. She even said, you know, I'm sorry, afterwards, she said, "You're not the real grandfather." Mm. And I don't want to, like, put that card out there, but at the end of the day, he wasn't blood. You know, with all, especially all this stuff happening in the news with these black babies dying because their mama leaving with them some man that's not blood related, I just would not feel comfortable leaving my baby there. And she doesn't even know him that well. And then us watching the show, knowing his past and him being an alcoholic, you know, having all these demons in his head, I wouldn't have left him with my baby.
I definitely wouldn't have either. And at the end of the day, she's not naive to the things. I mean, come on, they all live in the same neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So she's heard everything that everybody else has heard. She knows that this man just got out for murder.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean? Murder. All of those things are major components of me saying, yeah, I'm cool on you. I think I'll wash the clothes with my baby on my hip. I'll figure it out. You know what I mean? I definitely would not have advocated for that. I mean, you can come over and visit while I'm here.
Visits.
Supervise visits. But you're not about to just take my baby. No. That's
Yeah, I agree. I think one, not really so much actually because of the murder, because, you know, there was a point where they all thought that Coogie had murdered Jason. So I think she might understand
why. Murder?
But that was her man.
Yeah, that was her man.
I guess that was her man. So I see your point. Yeah,
absolutely.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. I'm sorry. I forgot about the background.
That's
my bad. You're right.
But so I don't think that's why she's like, oh, okay,
yeah,
I'm not going to let you have my kid. Because I think she kind of, that's why she kind of halfway accepts him.
Yeah.
It's because she knows, oh, you were willing to kill for Jason.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, I think I accept you for that. But, yeah, it's more like, honestly, outside of that, I don't know you.
Right.
And then also, like, not trying to be funny, but I guess we don't know what she really knows. But, dude, your grandma got dementia. So why I'm not leaving my baby with y'all and I ain't never been here. Where is it? Whatever.
And then the grandma don't even mess with him. I'm sorry. His Jason's mom doesn't even mess with him.
Well, now she's back cool with him a little bit because remember that he convinced her to go, you know what I'm saying? So I think that's how it's kind of working. But, you know, so it's an interesting dynamic. So he takes the baby and he's there with Jada and Miss Ethel. And, you know, and that scene was actually really touching.
It was really cute
to see Miss Ethel kind of keep it together. And right. She was really good with the baby and everyone was so happy. And so then we see this moment where it's kind of like, okay, you just went for a peck last time. Okay. What is going on
what
with him
happening?
And Jada?
So, they are dating officially.
I know. I was like, is this a relationship? Like,
girl,
what?
Yes.
They snuck around the corner.
Yeah. I know, so right? Cute. That was so cute. Stealing kisses and such.
Exactly. So that part was... that was cute.
That was cute.
But I did roll my eyes because I was like, Jada, I want more for you, girl.
Me too.
Get you a doctor.
Right.
Get you an ambulance driver. There are a million people working in a hospital. Why you got to get the drunk who cleans the house across the street? Not that there's anything wrong with cleaning homes or whatever, but...
But Jada, we want better for you.
Jada, come on, girl.
Right.
You can do better, girl. You held out for 5 years.
She could have went back with the baby daddy for that.
I totally understand hard times. However, you might have some other choices. But she seemed to be happy. So if she likes it, I love it. Mm-hmm. So that was interesting. Now, what did you guys think about the whole... him, like, the ringer is off, and I fell asleep. That whole, like, okay, and I thought you said five, but really it was three. The whole thing with Shantae.
I thought the time could be a true misunderstanding, but he shouldn't have let the grandma turn the ringer off. Or he should have had his phone in his pocket with him the whole time if you're watching someone else's baby. Because I would be just as pissed if I'm thinking you're going to bring my baby to me at 3 o'clock. 2 hours pass and I can't even get a hold of you. So I think he was wrong for that. He should have checked the phone, something, you know?
Yeah.
I think he was totally indicative of who he is. I think that was the first step in the spiral downward that he was destined for. And I hate to say it. I want to be optimistic about it. But the fact of the matter is, whatever thoughts got in your head based on what she said that snapped him back into all those, that memory, mm-hmm. made you run for the bottle immediately. Like, bruh, life is hard. You can't even not drink for this. You know what I mean? And you had something to look forward to that night and hanging out with this beautiful woman that was nice enough to say yes to you. So it just was an indication that he's still who he is. He has a lot of work to do. I saw it coming. You know what I mean? He's not going to do anything preventative. He's not going to do anything smart like, let me put the phone in my pocket. Let me make sure I'm on top of things. He's not that guy.
Well, here's my thing about that is I agree with you to an extent, but I'm like, he's just sort of somewhat of a flake and is going to do what he wants to do.
Exactly.
Because what he said was, first he said, oh, I thought you said five. Mm-hmm. Then he said, I fell asleep. So did you fall asleep or did you think she said five?
Right.
He said the grandma was asleep. She turns the ringer off.
But he was, right. So his ringer was off. But did you think it was five or three? Like, that's my thing.
Yeah, no, he's
a mess. Like, mm-hmm. because it's not the fact that he missed her calls. It's like, at one point, you said one thing. And clearly, those things to me don't go together. It's not like, oh, okay, you call me. I thought it was 5 o'clock. And I missed your call. Did you just didn't hear the phone ring?
He's an effer.
Or did you really, did you have an issue with kind of just doing what you wanted to do, hearing what you wanted to hear? So that sends him directly off the rails. And, so he goes and he's getting flowers and, you know, like he just goes straight back to the
Pruno. To the bottle. To the Pruno. Yeah.
So I know alcoholics are easy to slip, but...
Any addiction. It ain't just alcohol.
Addiction, I get that, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems, I don't know, like a little too, I don't know if I want to say easy to me or something. I was like, oh, okay, she said something and like you're snapping. The next day, it seemed a little bit too quick for me.
But he has some pretty internal demons that are always under the surface. Mm-hmm. All he needs is one little thing like Shantae going off on him to send him into a spiral. The fact that he snapped on his grandmother, he never talked to her like that. Like she talked to him like that, but he don't talk to her like that. So
right.
I thought that was interesting that he allowed that one thing to send him on a downward spiral. But again, it's a matter of choices. You know what I mean? If you feel yourself losing it, then you should be responsible enough to take a step back, do some breathing exercises. I don't know. Anything you might have been taught for tools. But he doesn't have it in him is what I'm saying. He's an F up off the break. Like he doesn't know how. He doesn't have any
self-control. What do you think, Lauren? Because to me, I agree with that. But then part of me is just like, personally, I feel like it's just kind of lazy in the writing. But what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it could have been something a little bit more for him to snap, because if that was the case, if it was going to be that easy for him, he could have snapped when he was cleaning the house and found the picture.
Right,
of the,
exactly.
You know
so,
what I mean?
Exactly. So to me, that's kind of some of the issue. To me, that... which is kind of an issue I've had with Ronnie's character overall. The storyline is a little weak. So
yeah.
It feels like they're stretching. Like, I get it. He was late. She was mad or whatever. But now it's like a whole cluster thing. So when he goes to a cluster F, basically. And so when he goes to Jada's apartment and he comes in there drunk, which is like crazy.
Ridiculous.
And then... there was a second there where I was like, is he going to try to rape her?
I thought so, too.
I was like, go ahead, Shy. Y'all bringing the pain tonight. But no. Now that would have been a flip on the story. Like, that would have been dark, but that would have actually been whatever.
Something
it would have been better than him peeing on a wall, but that's me.
I'm glad they didn't go that route.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely thought it may get to that point too, because he looks like he was pretty strong whenever Jada was trying to push him off, you know. Mm-hmm. He was kind of holding her. It made me be thankful that, you know, the son was like, "Oh, let me get a key to check on you."
Right.
Because you never know what could happen. I'm glad she did get him out, but it just, and then not even that. This goes back to you saying the writing. How did he get drunk that fast? The clock said 7:45. The reservation's at 8. He lives less than 10 minutes away.
He goes to the convenience store and has, like, I don't know what
flowers
kind of,
and milk.
What kind of amazing alcohol they have in that convenience store.
Because
he's
drunk in
5 minutes. Three little sips, girl. And he is stumbling. And, you know, I don't know what kind of drunk he is, but he gets drunk quick, obviously. And, yeah, so I thought that, too. I was like, you guys.
He got drunk way too easily for me.
Yeah.
They could have played it up a little bit more. Just, I see what you're
exactly.
saying.
Straight stumbling, drunk, throwing up. And I was like, dude, you've been drinking for 5 minutes. How could you even... that bottle was not that big. Like, was that really Pruno? Was that Pruno being sold in your convenience store?
Because it's been a long time since he had a drink. I don't know if that has anything to do with it.
No, not that long, girl. He ain't been sober that long. He only been out of jail. Nah, he ain't that. No,
okay,
no.
I got
but,
you.
But all right, so, okay. So she does get him out the house.
Yeah.
And, you know, so she gets him out the house and he's like stumbling. And then they end his particular segment with him getting picked up by Cruz. So that's interesting.
Is he just following them around now? Like,
right, like
he's
now
all,
he's
like branded.
These trolls.
Yes, I mean, look, at the beginning I liked Cruz. Now I'm just like, he's trying to repay his wrong so bad that he's becoming a kind of stalker.
He's a troll.
Yeah, I'm just a troll. I'm just like over it. I'm over his character. I'm over Ronnie's character. They could both be written out for next season.
As far as you're concerned.
As far as I'm concerned, but your thoughts. What are you guys?
Well, what do you think?
I am not as much anti-Cruz because I feel like he actually brings something to the storylines that I'm interested in outside of Ronnie. So if he can, like, square him away, get him back in prison, that would be good. But but I mean that in a loving way, Ronnie, really. I do. Because I feel like if we had some more scenes of you kind of getting tough and getting some fights up in prison, that would spice
that
up.
That would be good. That would be good.
Thank you. I mean, we can get a little bit of
And then he can work with Duda's head man.
Yeah, get some little eyes, some oranges and new black type stuff going on up in here. That would be great. Exactly. He could be try to get his own pimped out room. There are things he could do.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, so we'll see
where that goes.
All right. So there was a little bit tonight, very little, but always the lovely Emmett. What did you guys think? So Sonny comes back. We missed him.
Aww.
And offers Emmett a new job.
Yeah.
Being in management. And that part was really cute.
That's a good opportunity for him. He finally gets to feed all the kids, the baby mamas in his life. So it's definitely a good managerial role for him. It gives him more opportunity to step up, be the man. So I like it. You know, he already helped Brandon. That chapter's kind of closed. So now he gets to venture off and help Sonny.
Yeah, it was cute. And I was like, I was kind of like, Sunny, like, what are you thinking about? So, yeah, what are your thoughts?
I thought it was awesome. I think that it's all come full circle. I was super surprised that Sunny came in there. He requested the meeting and he had a big old smile on his face. I was like, what is that about? You burned your place down. You do know what happened, right? So that was a welcome turn because I didn't see that coming. I didn't expect him to offer him something of that caliber. And that's huge. And this is what he needs. I mean, he's quite the hustler, so he's going to make a dollar, whatever. So I'm sure that despite this being a full-time job, I'm sure he's going to have other hustles and other stuff he gets himself into, Lord knows. But I do love the fact that he was willing to step into his new role and be an adult and take care of his responsibility. That's a far cry from being in the bed and his mom waking him up talking about, boy, get the hell up and do something with your life.
And that was the thing I had a question about, too, is because we don't realize till he goes and he's talking to his mother, Jada, that he didn't graduate from high school. And I was like, well, you haven't been working that long. You just start taking care of your kids. So what made you, I don't know, it didn't make me think like, well, why did you really drop out of school? Because it's not like, you know, so that was part that I was surprised he hadn't at least graduated from high school.
I don't actually ever remember them showing him in high school. Do y'all?
No.
I don't even remember him being in school.
He cares more about money than he did. It makes sense to me. I mean, I can see why he would.
Yeah, they never showed it, but this is the first time I realized.
I agree with your point. Like, I didn't even realize he was in, that wasn't even an option anymore. Like, you know, I thought he'd been graduated and just was dealing with baby mama.
Right, or I thought he was like fresh out of school. Because I thought like, okay, you know, 17, 18, I thought, well, maybe he graduated the year before. Yeah. It's honestly what I thought. So I was like, wow, he hasn't graduated from high school. That's interesting.
Priorities. You know what I mean? If he out here making multiple girls pregnant and getting that coin and worrying about some damn tennis shoes.
Well, see, that was my thing. It was like, it wasn't really, I think, until later on in last season or whatever. I was like, dude, you ain't been working for your, you know, he's like, oh, I got to pay, you know.
Well, he's on it now. He's on it,
but no. My point was, he made it seem, or in that scene to me, I took it like he was, how some people are like, oh, I got to drop out of school to take care of my family.
Right,
No, you just started taking care of your family, these many kids, you know, a few months ago. So, why did you drop out of school? Right. Like, it wasn't because you taking care of your family. But we do shout out because we love you here at Mint. So we do. We're glad that you
do. Yeah, such a cutie.
And it was interesting that he was nervous about feeling like this was too small for him.
Right? I thought he was worried that it was too much responsibility.
Yeah. I thought he was nervous about leaving Brandon.
That's what I thought. I was like, well, can you quit Brandon once he actually opens the shack up?
Yeah.
Like, why are you quitting now? That's what I thought.
Yeah, actually. I thought it was more about the relationship he built with Brandon and helping him move up. Mm-hmm. But interesting.
It was interesting. I didn't expect that.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on to, before we move on, Lauren has some fun and amazing things to tell you guys.
Yes, we want to thank all of our viewers for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. We here at AfterBuzz just love when you guys view and tune in, listen to us on iTunes, and if you're streaming us, please give us a 5-star rating on iTunes, thumbs up on YouTube, comment, like, subscribe, tell your friends and family, because you guys are definitely helping us do what we love the most, and we just love seeing your comments below, and we just thank you so much, because we wouldn't be here without you guys.
We would not. So,
and we appreciate you.
Exactly. Give us a thumbs up. You watching anyway, just do it.
and you love us.
Exactly. Okay, so let's talk the kids, because they're always fun.
I know. And they're the relief,
and
right?
In this scene, kind of what they did, I kind of really liked it. Sometimes I don't always, but I did really like this one. So they finally get to go to the Shedd Aquarium. And it's so cute because they're meeting like the white kids and stuff from the north side, which is like so, and it is actually very on point. Linkin Park, the north side, all of that is actually very, very accurate. So that part was kind of really cool to see, although I don't imagine they would ever in real life do that, but very interesting. and so what was kind of cute was, and this is true, honestly, which is kind of funny, in Chicago, because Chicago is, although very diverse, also very segregated. So there are a lot of people very much like Jake who don't go downtown, don't go past Madison Avenue, certainly don't go to the north side. So it's interesting that they found a way to kind of segue, you know, kind of put that in there into the storyline. And that being said, it's plenty of people in Lincoln Park that don't go to 63rd Street. So it's how it is in Chicago, actually. So they finally make it, and we get to see the teachers kind of hooking up Kev with Malcolm, who's also another kid from the city, who's really smart and got to go to the school up north. So how did you guys think, or what were you guys' feelings about the Kevin-Malcolm interaction?
I love love them. I love the whole, from start to finish, I love the Friends thing. The only thing that probably put a damper on it was I was really afraid that he was going to get caught with that book bag situation.
Oh, yeah.
And that would have just made it so effed up. But that didn't happen. So everything was copacetic. The fact that they turned the corner and Jake, not Papa, was the one doing the dances for the white kids. Like, I was in, I loved it. Did that. I thought that was too cute. So yeah, I love the interaction between he and Malcolm. I love that they forged a friendship despite his misgivings, and he side-eyed right. Malcolm the whole time. I mean, come on, the little boy showed up and said, hi! So, you know what I mean? You kind of assumed that he was going to be a different kind of cat. But he turned out to be super cool. I mean, he is from the hood. He's just in a, you know, in a different uniform, living a different kind of existence right now. But I really, really liked that from start to finish. I thought that was well done. It was cute.
I liked it too. I definitely loved how he also bought him lunch.
Yes.
You know, he was being very giving and
genuine.
Of course, yeah, he told him how his experience is at the school. And then Jake was surprised. Kevin was surprised because he was like, oh, kind of like, we're just alike, but you're just like in the uniform
exactly.
and go to the school. But I thought it was cute. It was very playful. I'm glad they finally let Jake be a kid, dancing, having fun. And now he wants to go to Lincoln Park, and you know, hang out with some kids, teach him some dances, probably sell some drugs. But you know, I'm glad they're making friends and being kids.
Exactly. And I totally enjoy that. And what I really liked, honestly, about this sort of segment is that I think it could have really gone really a different way. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm just a dark person. But because to me, I feel like if you have these sort of bougie, elite, mostly Caucasian students in with these children that are like, you know, low income or whatever, like, and you mix them in a group, it could have gone really bad. Mm-hmm. But I really like the fact that even the white kids were cool. And then when Kev brought Malcolm around to Jake and Papa, they were cool. Like, everybody mm-hmm. was just kind of like, oh, we're here, we're looking at the sharks, and we're having fun.
Yeah. Right.
And
that, so there was no drama.
Exactly. And it was very accepting. You know what I mean? They had preconceived notions, I'm sure. But like, once they spent more than five, which is generally the case with kids. Kids are so adaptable. So you mm-hmm. give them 5 minutes together, they'll find a common ground. And that's exactly what they did. I love that.
Yeah. So that whole scene was really cute. So let's move on to Brandon, Reggie, Duda, all of that. And I wish we had the media because I had the picture. I loved it when Duda, because one thing I love me about chocolate Duda is every time he wants to say something to you crazy, he leans in to whisper to you. So he's like, yeah, you're not going to F with my money. Like, he talks to you in regular time, but he got to get close. You know, he got to get in your body space to tell you that he's going to kill you or he would kill you.
Right.
So that's what
to remind you that he's a killer.
That's what you like about a gangster. So what was interesting, I thought, about kind of the finally Brandon, which it was interesting because I didn't think that they were going to play it so straight. Like, just kind of telling them, like, well, yeah, you know, you're not going, basically, I will kill you. And yes, I am a, you know, drug dealer. So Brandon finally, well, Cruz comes to warn him. And what do you guys feel about Cruz's intentions in warning Brandon?
Cruz is a troll at this point.
But I thought his intentions were to help him out. I don't want to say necessarily pure, because they weren't 100% pure, but that he was kind of like, this is your warning. Wake up. We're investigating you, without saying those exact words. You know, if you are in the mix with Duda, drug dealers, get rid of it because they're coming for you. So I think it was like, I failed you in not keeping the man who killed your brother in jail. So I'm trying to help you on this end. Wake up. That's what I thought. So I liked it because he is trying to wrong his rights. Right his wrong.
Yeah.
But I mean, the way he's coming about it is just, Brandon's like, get the F out of my house. Like, you know?
Right, right. And I wasn't at all surprised about Brandon's reaction. And I did, I think, initially agree with you on that. I did kind of feel that way. Although, part of me feels like he's going to be nice, but he's going to do something, you know, he's going to try to flip him later. But that's just my thought.
Oh.
But I'll save it for predictions.
All right.
And then, so Brandon, even though he gave Cruz a hard time, he does go and talk to Duda and is like, what's up? And so Duda's just like, well, yeah, pay me back everything plus 20% and, you know, and don't F with my money. And so that was an interesting scene to me because, you know, like, well, when we talk about Reggie later, like, to me, this whole time, Reggie said it like the whole time I've thought basically both seasons, didn't you grow up on 63rd and Yates with the rest
right,
of us?
Right, with the rest
he
of us.
He has been acting like Jericho from the beginning. Are you from Hyde Park? Are you from the suburbs? No, you from 63rd and Yates, just like Kevin, just like Cookie, just like everybody else, and you're the one who, I know you like to cook, we all like to cook, but don't you leave the house. Like, how are you immune to what's going on
exactly.
into your community? And that's the part, I think, with Brandon. That's the one thing with Brandon that I don't care for.
Even Jericho knew. Jericho knew he was bad news.
Right. Jericho knew who Duda was.
I think he's in so much denial.
He's a good guy. He's
a pizza guy. He's on TV. Like, Brandon, where do you live? Like, I don't understand.
I think Brandon wants to believe that he's a good guy so he doesn't get caught up in it. But he's playing dumb, but he grew up exactly where everyone else grew up, so he knows what's up. He's just like, he's trying to be so good. Maybe he wants to see the good in others, but I mean, Jericho warned him, and she didn't even grow up over there, so I just don't know.
Yeah, I think to me, that is the issue that I have with kind of how the writers have done Brandon. Like, I get that he's good, but he doesn't have, to me, as much basic street common sense that he
should. It's naivete, and it's ridiculous.
And it's too extra. Because it's like, I mean, you're not Emmett. Like, come on, you are old. You should know something. So that was interesting where he was like, oh my gosh. Now, I love the scene when he meets with Greavy and his cousin Hannibal, because I love me some Hannibal. Like, every time Hannibal has, like, the best comic lines. I don't know how they got his lips swole, but whatever. and Hannibal's kind of like, yeah, even with all of that, you're not going to have enough money. And because at the end of the day, you know, Duda's going to ask for more anyway.
Yeah, so. Exactly. He's going to push him up against the wall. Even if he were able to come up with everything that he asked of him tomorrow, there'll be another reason. Because he's the fish.
Yeah.
He's been ordered to keep him on the hook.
Did I say 20%? I meant 30%.
30%, exactly.
Right, exactly. And it's going to be something else, and it's going to be something else. So, you know, he's in a hustle, so, you know, trying to sell the house. And I thought Greavy was going to flip a little bit more than he did, but he seems to genuinely be on board with trying to help Brandon get out of this crazy situation.
I'm just trying to figure out where the mama is. Like, she's still
right.
Gone.
Where the
she's still
MIA.
A sister or what?
She's like in North Carolina, wherever she is. Yeah, she's living
she's
her
weird.
Best life. Right.
I guess.
Yeah. When they write you off, they just write you. You just leave.
Right. Okay, you're gone.
Yeah,
bye.
Yeah. Exactly. No exit. Nothing. Okay. So what's okay. So. You know, so that was interesting to see them together, and I really liked that. Now, let's talk a little bit about Reggie right quick, because I love me some Barton Fitzpatrick. Maybe one day we'll get him in the studio. Hint, hint, Barton, come on down. Okay, so we see this scene where he... I had a picture, too. We see the scene of where he puts the cigarette out and...
that was a blunt.
Blunt or whatever.
On someone's forehead.
In someone's forehead.
Right.
And... over peaches, which we learned, and I assumed, actually, which was interesting, because I had assumed this whole time, I always assumed, for whatever my reasoning is, that Reggie and Jake had the same mother.
Me too.
And I was intrigued by the idea that they had the same father.
Yeah.
That was really interesting. And so to me, I think that kind of makes them almost have a different, if not maybe even deeper bond. And he's like, well, she doesn't know who she is. And, you know, so he's trying to protect and get Jake's mother, Peaches, back on the straight and narrow, which I thought was kind of like...
Admirable.
That was when we saw his first sense of like, oh, you're a human. You care right. about your little brother.
Right. Right. And to me, I mean, especially because it does kind of beg the question, like, well, how did you all end up where you are? Like, was your father taking both of you in and he's gone? Like, how did you, because, you know, I'm saying you have different mothers, so your mother's somewhere, you know, so that kind of really made me think about the basis of their relationship and how deep it must really run. So, you know, so that was kind of an interesting thing and how far he was willing to go for Jake and taking it out on this guy. So while that's happening, Duda is meeting with that rival gang that Reggie stole from. And so interesting, because now we have to wonder where does Duda go from here? Yeah, because Duda said the exact same thing that the guy said to him. Mm-hmm. Family is what you do for, and everybody has to do it. So is Reggie his family or not would be the question.
I think Reggie's going to have to pay.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, I was wondering when the repercussions would happen because you can't just steal somebody's money like that and nothing happens.
Exactly.
So I was wondering when it come around. It's coming around now.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
It's a bad choice on his part. That's my prediction, yeah. In case you were wondering.
No worries. And then, all right, so real quick before we get up out of here, let's go to Jerrica's finally finding her dreams.
Okay. Is that what that is? She's discovered her calling?
Yeah, I think so. So then, so Jerrica kind of hooks the woman up that she, you know, that kind of told her off. Yeah, with the low-income housing. And, you know, because she's kind of like decluttering and cleaning the house and has like no focus. And which was my thing. I was like, why you quit your job? And you don't have no idea. But she found one this episode. So yay, Jerrica. And so she has this community meeting. And how did you guys feel about that scene where they're all kind of going through kind of their low-income housing issues?
I mean, I feel like if she came in there, she should have had done a little more research, because why wouldn't she think that the people in the low income have already thought of some of these things she thought about? You know, she should have came with some deeper, longer list to help them out. I think they gave up on her too easily, though. She's not from their neighborhood. Maybe one of them could have took her inside and been like, look, let's meet up another day, come up with a new plan to really get this going. But, you know, they kind of encouraged her to study the bar again. So maybe it's, you know, a blessing in disguise.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good meeting because it bore fruit, right? Like, they didn't go in there and just kind of talk in circles. They had an agenda. They hit the items. All the boxes were checked. And they basically let her know, listen, we're not slouches over here. We appreciate the fact that you're bringing us together and that you might be able to bring something to the table and help us with our situation, maybe better our situation in some respect. But don't get it twisted. Like, we're not over here with our thumbs up our asses. We're doing stuff, too. Mm-hmm. These are the things that we've done or attempted to implement in order to, you know, have a better way of life and obviously better living conditions. So I thought that was really dope that they wrote it that way. They could have had them all just been sitting there like, oh, we didn't think of that. Well, I ain't doing that. Or, you know, just a negative point of view. Whereas they were like, what? We already did that, girl.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was interesting. They showed us a little bit more of the low income housing issue. So I thought that part was interesting. Although, again, not to be too harsh, because I love you guys, the writers, but I felt like really the whole point of that scene was to say she's a lawyer, but she hasn't taken the bar.
Right.
And I was like, y'all could have done, thank you. Like, we sat through all of this for really that seemed the point, to be honest to me. And which was interesting because I was like, girl, the Illinois bar ain't that hard. You're not in California, but we digress. But yeah, so that part I really thought, but you know, I was like, this is how they're doing it. So that was interesting. So that's what I thought they were going with that. So let's, the very end of the episode, we'll wrap it with Brandon proposing to Jerrica, but he decides to stand up because he wanted to stand and be a man and, mm-hmm. you know, and look her in the eye. What did you guys think of his proposal?
I thought it was cute on the truck. It could have been a little bigger, but he said he doesn't have to do that with his girl. She loves him the way it is. But I think by him proposing on this episode, that's going to be their way to write off both Jerrica and Brandon, because now they have a reason to get married, move on, and get off the show. So, yeah, I'm glad they, you know, are finally getting together if they can work it out. But they're going to be both written off the show anyway. So I think that was their way to kind of make that happen.
Cool.
When you conspire to deceive, that's all I kept thinking. Why don't you come correct and tell this girl the truth? It's really just a matter of pride and ego that he's sitting there not telling her. She'll be mad at me. Okay, she'll be madder if she finds out that you're doing so much ridiculousness. And this is what broke y'all up in the first place. Like, just come correct. This is supposed to be your best friend.
I agree. And that was the thing, too. It's like, she gave him a couple of sort of leeways in, and he just didn't take it because he was too proud or too scared.
That's stupid.
So, yes, you guys, that was episode 8.
Yeah.
So now we're going to breeze through, if we have the time, our special segments, news and predictions. All right, you guys. So, the special segment, Chi-Town Highlights, for this episode is actually, I thought it would be cool to do one that Jerrica mentioned in the episode, and that would be Harold Lee Washington. He was an American lawyer and politician who was the 51st mayor of Chicago. Harold Washington became the first African mayor to be elected as the city's mayor in February of 1983, and he served as mayor from April 1983 until his death in 1987. But before that, he was in the Illinois House of Representatives and in the Congress House of Representatives as well. So he could have been president like Obama, but sadly, he passed. But yeah, he was just a very well-known, very famous, you know, to this day, one of the best mayors of Chicago ever. And so, yeah, that was Harold Washington. So now let's move on to our news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So, really?
Well, let's do this because I think we both basically have the same thing.
Yeah,
so,
we do.
Kind of, there's more fallout, you guys, from the whole Jason Mitchell firing. So now that Jason Mitchell has been fired, the showrunner, she is also coming out and saying, like, she's the only one who's really been talking because nobody has been really talking before.
Well,
this.
Lena did come out and say something. She retracted.
Well, so. The showrunner is saying that people knew.
Right.
She's saying that she made it clear that several people on the set knew. But Lena Waithe is saying, you know, she should have done a little more when, you know,
more.
Misconducts were written up. But, you know.
Yeah, but not. Yeah, she did say all of that. But also, first of all, in case you guys didn't know, she's not going to come back next season. So they're going to have a whole new showrunner.
Right.
But she also was saying, too, that there were all these other girls besides Tiffany Boone. She said once she had set up the meetings for them to get this sort of training on sexual harassment, that he then, instead of, like, getting low with it, he got louder with it and directed his rage and anger towards her. And she kind of, you know, there's some articles. She was kind of letting out a whole bunch more than most people, because nobody's really saying exactly what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it, you know, happened sort of off the set. And I know certainly he said some really derogatory remarks to the Latino actresses in Desperado. So she's kind of actually spilling a little bit more than everybody else, because now that she's like, peace out, now she's kind of Lena, everybody
hot,
under the bus.
And I definitely want women to speak up and speak out about this, but the only thing is, I hope she's careful in how she's going about it, because I don't want her name to be ruined by doing this. You know what I mean?
I feel like because we're in the age of Me Too-isms, that's not going to happen. If she feels confident enough to leave the show as a result of harassment or anything else, she must feel confident that she's able
to. Right. But
she's
I'm wondering if she decided to leave or they decided to let her go.
No, she walked away.
I think she decided to walk away because I think she's putting it on Lena, squarely on Lena.
Yeah.
And there's all these pictures now. They keep showing that same picture of Lena with her arm around Jason
Mitchell.
And I think, actually, this is going to have a worse, way worse repercussions on Lena.
Yeah.
Because Lena was a representative for, you know, for women, for black women, for, you know, LGBTQ, all that. So I think she's going to take the hit.
Yeah.
All right, you guys, thank you so much for joining us. I think you all know what we predict, so.
Yeah.
do one prediction, you guys, before we get out of here, and let's do it. Quick,
just,
one thing.
I mean, I don't have a...
Ronnie's going to get locked up.
Well, yeah, I see that
happening. Emma's going to be a great manager. Brandon and Jerrica are going to get written off because they get married.
Yeah, and Jerrica's leaving anyway. She said she was done with the show as well.
Okay, I think Jake's dancing is going to get him out the hood. That's what I think. I think Cruz is going to flip and use Brandon to wear a wire and get Duda. And I think he's going to leave the show as a hidden, you know, secret witness, whatever.
Jake's brother's going to die.
Reggie's going to die. All right, you guys, thank you so much. That's our show for tonight.
Yay!
We apologize for going over, people, but so much is going on. So thank you for tuning in. And ladies, where can they find you?
You can find me at Lauren the Truth.
Oh, Kitty Kaboom. KITTIEKABOOM.
All right, you guys, thank you so much. And I am your host, Erica Edwards. You can follow me on all of my social media at Erica, E-R-I-K-A, D as in door, Edwards. Ciao for now, folks.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.